Welcome to Be All You Are, a Midlife Awakening podcast. I'm your host, Kaina Paranjape. I'm a former corporate executive, two-time entrepreneur, and mama. I've worked with and partnered with major brands and even helped a celebrity launch an award-winning business. But I also believe that who we are is not just reflected on our LinkedIn profile. When I was 30, my husband became suddenly critically ill. And after 8 years of living with a difficult illness, he passed away. This experience taught me that we need to claim our dreams now, embrace all we are, and create an amazing life along the way. Today, I help women like you navigate through change and transition to their next level of freedom and fulfillment, whatever that looks like for you. This podcast is all about stepping into all you are. It's about reconnecting to your inner voice so you can hear the whispers of your deepest dreams and cultivate the courage and a plan to create the life that is waiting for you. Now head out on that solo walk or settle into a cozy spot with a favorite beverage and join me. Well, hi, my beautiful friends. It has been a while since I have sat down to record a solo episode for you. And there are a few reasons for that. One being that I lost my podcast producer. And so I went through this time period where I was exploring what my options were and how I wanted to approach this podcast. And just to be perfectly open with you, because that is what we're here for, right? We're here to be real. We're here to share the behind the scenes, like the real behind the scenes. Like, how do we actually make things happen in our lives? How do we step forward towards our dreams and visions? How do we manage it all, right? And I think what I have realized is that the minute we are willing to let go of needing everything to be perfect is the moment that we are in it for the long haul, because holding on to perfection is exhausting, especially when you are just starting out and trying to figure things out. So now the podcast this April will have been around for almost 2 years. And in the first year, I came out with 50 episodes. So it was like consistently every week. And in the second year, it's been less consistent. And so I've been thinking a lot about this podcast. Like, what is it? Why does it matter? And like, how does it fit into the big picture for me, right? Like, as a person, as a woman, as a business owner. And what I've come to realize is that I love this podcast and I love having this channel to connect with you at a deeper level, to have deeper conversations, to invite guests on that I know that you're going to want to hear from. And it's a portal for me to share with you, you know, share with you discoveries and insights and aha moments and in real time what I am exploring. And so this podcast is not going anywhere. However, I think until I find my own rhythm, it may be every couple of weeks. I may skip 3 weeks here and there, but my goal is to come back to some sense of consistency. So all this to say, stay with me. If you're subscribed to the podcast, that's ideal, because then you'll get updates when a new episode drops. You won't have to check. It'll just come up in your recently new episodes list. So whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please hit subscribe or follow, and that way you'll be notified whenever a new episode drops. So welcome back to another episode. This is a solo episode, and in this episode, I'm going to be sharing with you some of the beautiful gifts and insights I received on my trip to India in the month of December and January. I was gone for about a month with my family. My country of origin is India. I wasn't born there. I was born on the East Coast of Canada. But my parents both came from India. My family was all in India, and I grew up going there. However, I never lived there for an extended period of time. And the last time I went to India was 11 years ago. So this trip was significant. It was significant for so many reasons. It was significant because the last time I went to India 11 years ago, I'd been going through a very difficult time in my life. And I was escaping from something. My husband was very ill. The following year, he actually passed away. And the trip to India was truly an escape. My mom basically said, come with me to India, you need a break. And I went to attend my youngest cousin's wedding. And so it was a lovely trip, but I knew what I was going back to. And the next year was like one of the most difficult years of my life. So, you know, fast forward 11 years, life has changed. It's expanded. I have an 8-year-old daughter now. I have a 5-year-old niece now, and we all travel to India together. And I think, like, you know, when you go on a trip like this, you have certain expectations of what you want to experience or feel or bring back with you. And I was relatively open, and that allowed me to bring back things that I never could have planned for. And that's what I want to share with you today. So 4 insights and gifts that I am bringing back from my time in India that I want to share with you that I feel are powerful for all of us to remember and to keep with us as we move forward in our lives. But before I dive into that, I wanted to share with you more about my membership community, Supernova. So this membership community launched late last year in November 2024, and it is the membership where women age 35 and up redefine success, step into their power, and make their next years their best yet. And I'm telling you, it has been just 4 months of being active live in this membership. It's an annual membership, and we are almost at 75 members already. 75 incredible women who live, you know, across North America, but even some other parts of the world as well. And there are professional women who are either corporate leaders or work in the entrepreneurial world. And what we all have in common is this desire to grow, expand, to step into our full potential, into the full expression of who we are, to create, to make bold moves. And like I say, to make our best, our next years, our very best yet. So the best is yet to come. And that's what we're doing inside Supernova. So please learn more. Come to allyouare.ca/supernova, and you'll learn all about what we offer inside of this membership community. And if you are also in Toronto, I'm also hosting in-person gatherings in Toronto that are in addition to the membership fee for the virtual sessions. But, you know, I'm so proud of how this membership is evolving, how this community is evolving, and truly how it is the start of a movement. It is the start of a movement where women of a certain age, truly step into all that they are and change the narrative around how we look at this time period in a woman's life. And we're doing it. It's honestly fire. So allyouare.ca/supernova. And there's a quick little application form, and then you're in. So I hope that you will join us, and let's dive into this week's episode. Let's dive in. So as I shared with you, I went on this beautiful trip to India. And the first insight that I want to share with you really comes from something that happened prior to my trip to India. So before I left, a few weeks before, I was invited by a very dear friend to be a part of a group reading with a medium. I have not had a lot of experience with mediums. I have seen one other medium who was sort of new to her gifts and did a practice session with me. But this medium was a little bit more experienced, and she had offered a group reading. And in it, she brought up my grandmother. And I won't go into details about what she said, but it was interesting because just a couple weeks later, I was leaving for this trip to India. And it's in India that I had the most contact with my grandmother. It's where I built or created a relationship with her. And so a few weeks later, I'm in India. I'm with my mom. I'm in the place where, you know, my grandmother is no longer alive, but it's the place where I spent time with her. And she was at the forefront of my mind. And so I was asking my mom questions about my grandmother. I was asking questions about my grandparents and their relationship. I was looking at photos of them. I was asking her to share stories about what her life was like as she was growing up, what choices and freedom she had. And through that, I ended up also learning so much more about my own mother and her own response to my grandmother's experience. And so from that, what I wanted to share with you as one of my insights is, what do you know about your grandmother? And if you can, how can you learn more about her? And what can you learn from your story and how it ties to yours? So what I learned is that, you know, my grandmother was quite timid. She had older brothers. Her mother passed away when she was young. And when she got married to my grandfather, she went into a family with a lot. He had a lot of older sisters. They kind of weren't that kind to her. And even though my grandparents had a love marriage, which was rare in that time in India, it was very much arranged marriage was the norm. You know, my grandfather had his moods and he didn't know how to handle his moods. And so he would not speak to her for days at a time. And you know, she didn't have a lot of freedoms. Her role was to take care of the home, to take care of the children, and to take care of him. And it's so powerful for us to know the story of our grandmothers because it can help us understand some of the limiting beliefs that we hold that we often beat ourselves up for, right? We often feel like, why do I have this limiting belief? And, you know, I should just be able to get over it. And the truth is, when you deeply understand the story of your grandmother and your mother, you realize it wasn't that long ago that our choices and freedoms were so limited. So it's no wonder that there's discomfort in, you know, speaking up and stepping out and taking control and leading the way. And we are doing that. But the reason it doesn't feel comfortable yet is because we don't have those models. We don't have models because our mothers and grandmothers weren't afforded those same freedoms. So, you know, our grandmothers, many of them were in survival mode a good amount of the time. And then our mothers were able to start dabbling with freedom, right? With exploring and stepping out and asking themselves what they want. But now we're in a position where we get to lead the way and ask ourselves how we want to move things forward for each other and for future generations of women. So my first insight is really to learn about the stories of your mother and grandmother. Learn so that you can understand yourself and so that you can be intentional about where you're going and about how you want to lead from that knowing, right? It's not about looking back to stay there. It's about looking back to be intentional about where you're going and honoring their journey by choosing more freedom for yourself. So that's the first insight. So while we were in India, we visited a province called Goa. It's along the Indian Ocean, very beautiful, lush, and gorgeous beaches. And we visited an ancient temple there dedicated to the goddess in Indian mythology called Shantadurga. So Shantadurga is a symbol of powerful, compassionate leadership. And the legend goes that when Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva were locked in a destructive battle, it was goddess Shantadurga who stepped in to mediate. And with her calm yet commanding presence, she brought peace between two unstoppable forces, restoring harmony to the universe. And she's truly a reminder of the profound power in feminine energy, the ability to nurture, lead, and bring about transformation. So the second insight I wanted to share is that it is time for us as women to reclaim the power we lost over the centuries. And I say reclaim because we had it at one point and then lost it. The truth is, in the beginning, there was an honoring of the masculine and feminine. There was an understanding that it takes the intertwining of these two strong forces to create a beautiful, balanced world. And for whatever reason, and over hundreds of years, and I know that many people have deconstructed this from a historical and academic perspective, this balance was completely thrown off. And for hundreds of years, we've been fighting for it back. You know, now we have equal pay. We can be the CEO if we want to, right? In many, not everywhere in the world, but at least in the Western world, we have those freedoms. But there is a difference between attaining power according to rules that we didn't create versus stepping into our own inherent power and leadership. And I believe we're entering into a time where we are being called to use our unique voices and be the catalyst for change and progress. So this is about tapping into our inherent feminine power, into our inherent feminine leadership, and leading from within, not using the parameters of the world as it's been crafted, right, by men, as our guide, and instead saying, tapping into that sacred wisdom within us to say, how do I want to lead from here? And so what I invite you to do is to ask yourself, what does stepping into feminine leadership mean to you? And in your specific situation, in your life, in what areas of your life could you use your voice and energy to inspire change? And boy, do we ever need change. I mean, that's like the understatement of the year. But we need this. We need to not just be, you know, taking on the roles that someone's handing to us, but like leading from within. So the second insight that I wanted to share with you was, it's time to reclaim our feminine power. Now, I have created a beautiful 11-minute guided meditation that is all about reconnecting to your inner goddess. We all have within us an inner goddess who is wise and who is peaceful and who is all-knowing. And if we connect to her, we can find that strength and we can access the leadership that's already within us. So I'm going to share the link to that meditation in the show notes below. But just think about it. It's 11 minutes. You are having a tough day. You're feeling overwhelmed. You're feeling pushed in the wrong direction or pushed too far. You just close your office doors, put on your headphones, listen to this 11-minute meditation and see how you feel. So I invite you to check that out. Okay, let's keep going. So I have grown up going to India, as I shared, but I was born and raised in Halifax, Nova Scotia on the east coast of Canada. And because of that, I experienced the same culture shock going to India as a child that anybody else would. Right? I went there and I was like, the traffic and the noise and the smells and all of it. And, you know, as I shared, it's been 11 years since I'd visited. So I was really eager now to see India again with new, wiser, more mature eyes. And one thing that really struck me, and again, it's not that I didn't know this before, but I experienced it at a much deeper level, is that India is so rich and abundant. Right? It's just, it's so lush that the natural resources when it comes to vegetables and fruits and flowers and trees. And then, of course, because of that, the spices and the vegetable markets. And then there's things like Ayurveda, right? Ancient medicine. There's the all arts and culture, music, dance, Bollywood. There's the artistry and craftsmanship, everything from embroidery to jewelry making to textiles. There's sculpture. And let's not forget some of the ancient texts of the world, right? There's Hinduism and the Vedic texts and multiple languages, like 14 languages. And of course, the birthplace of yoga and meditation. And now it's also, you know, a major IT hub. India is endlessly creative and resourceful. It really blows you away. But yet, there's still a lot of poverty and very visible poverty in India because the weather is warmer. So, you know, you don't have to be hidden away in a shelter. It's sort of, you know, you can kind of get by. And there's also issues with old systems that hold people back. The caste system that has technically been abolished, but still sort of lives in society, and corruption. Right? Government corruption and things like that. So the contrast between that richness and the abundance versus the, you know, apparent poverty, the contrast is more apparent there than anywhere else I've ever visited. And yes, it feels unfair and unjust, but it also points you towards what is possible. And I feel like for so many people, there's always a choice towards more possibility. Right? And it's funny because my mom stays in India only 3 months a year. She has a flat there. She goes there for winters. And in her flat, she has a bookshelf with maybe 20 books on the bookshelf. And of course, when I went there, I had to look at, see what books does she have on this bookshelf? And she had a book that was all about meditation. And it was, I think it was called From Doing Meditation to Being Meditation. And I took it off the shelf and I started flipping through it. And I had brought other books with me on this trip. But this book was, as soon as I opened it, was like, yep, I'm reading this book. And I read it cover to cover on this trip. And it really brought forward something for me. And I really wanted to share with you one little section from this whole book that I read that filled me up in so many ways. And so just to share, the book is called Complete Meditation, From Doing Meditation to Being Meditation. And it is by a spiritual teacher, an Indian spiritual teacher named Sir Sri. And he writes, "The goal of human life is opening, blossoming, and playing, i.e. to explore all the possibilities within you. To blossom completely in life, to achieve this goal, we should look around to see what system, what arrangement is present, which we can utilize to reach our goal as fast as possible. This is the goal of human life, the goal of each and every one of us." And then he says, "Whatever one can do, one should do. You should not think about what others can do. A daisy does not think about a rose. What you actually are and what the real you can do, this is what you should think about." And I love that this is all on one page, if you can imagine. And what I loved about this is it led me to the third insight that I want to share with you today. And this insight has two parts. And the first is just what Sir Sri shared, which is that our purpose in life is to blossom into the full expression of all that we are. That is the purpose of every living thing, every flower, every fruit, every tree, every animal. For all of us, our purpose is to blossom into the full expression of all that we are. And if we can always come back to that, if we can come back to how is life inviting me to blossom, right? How is this challenge, this idea, this nudge, this invitation that I keep getting, how is it inviting me to blossom? I think that's such a pure truth for all of us, regardless of where we are in our lives. Even if we're in challenging times, how is this challenging time inviting me to blossom? So that was the first part. And the second part is just this reminder that what we need to blossom is right in front of us. Yes, we live in a world with a myriad of options and everything at our fingertips. But truly, when we look at what life is presenting to us in this moment, that is what we need to blossom. We don't need anything outside of us, beyond us. We just need what is right in front of us. And it's a reminder that we have a deep well of abundance within us. We have a deep well of riches that we can access and that we can leverage, and that is all we need to fully blossom. So I want to invite you to consider, what ways are you being invited to blossom? And then finally, I wanted to bring you to the final fourth insight that I received from my trip to India. And that is, this year, I am resolving to drop resistance to what is and instead surrender to it. And I wanted to share this quote with you from the Surrender Experiment, one of a book written by one of my favorite spiritual teachers, Michael A. Singer, who wrote The Untethered Soul. I've talked about that book a number of times on this show. It's truly, you know, one of my top five in terms of like spiritual books that I go to again and again, I refer to again and again. And he writes in The Surrender Experiment, "The practice of surrender was actually done in two very distinct steps. First, you let go of the personal reactions of like and dislike that form inside your mind and heart. And second, with the resultant sense of clarity, you simply look to see what is being asked of you by the situation unfolding in front of you." When you are ambitious and have big dreams and goals, surrendering control of things that we can't control can be downright painful. Believe me, I have been through that. I have always set big goals for myself. And when things haven't unfolded the way I wanted them to, it felt painful. But what happens when we resist is that it only causes more pain. And when I started to realize that even those painful things were an invitation to co-create with life, to dance with life, to respond in kind and not try to bulldoze through, then life becomes so much more easeful. And not only that, you feel more connected to yourself and to the universe and to the divine. So when you accept the things that you can't control, even in the small everyday things in life, right? Like sitting in traffic and being like, oh my goodness, Toronto traffic is the worst. And I'm not pretending that this doesn't still happen to me. But if we can create a little bit of space where we pause and say, I'm in this traffic, I can't control it. How will I choose to respond, right? And if we can practice it with those things like traffic, any bureaucracy when it comes to like getting paperwork done or getting your passport renewed, things related to your kids, right? Like your kid getting upset about something or getting sick. And you know, when I was in India, all these sorts of things were happening. And I just kept coming back to what is being asked of me right now? What is being asked of me right now? And when we work with that and don't fight it, then we create space and we create an opening for a new idea or another option of how to respond or a new way of thinking about the situation. So I want to invite you to resolve this year to co-create with life and to accept what you can't control, to create space with how you respond, and to know that that space isn't just so that you can be calmer, but it's inviting the universe to co-create with you. It's like telling the universe, okay, I get it. I'm stuck in traffic or whatever it may be. My kid is homesick today. Help me see the possibility here, or help me see what this is meant to teach me. So these are the four beautiful things that I received during my time in India. And I you know, it's been almost 2 months since I came back, and I feel like it was a trip that deeply shifted things for me. And I really want to go back. I want to go back soon. So thank you so much for tuning in, as always, for listening to my insights and for being open to having these types of conversations, to exploring what you already know to be true, right? You're here because there's a part of you that knows that there's more within you and that there's more that's possible for you. And you want to be having these conversations so that that truth can more deeply settle in with you. And so I'm speaking directly in your ears. I'm feeling your energy as I record this message. And I just want to say how grateful I am that you're here. So let me quickly recap the four insights. The first is to spend time learning your grandmother's story. Allow it to enlighten your own journey and what your role is now to play, right? In your ancestry, in your lineage, what is your role to play? The second is, it's time to reclaim the power that we've lost. Lean into your feminine strength. Explore what feminine strength means to you. Instead of operating within a structure and parameters that we didn't create, allow yourself to tap into your own innate wisdom, your sacred ancient wisdom that lives within you, and allow yourself to feel into what is right. What is the right next step? What is the right response here? And allow that part of you to lead. And I also shared that there is a meditation that I created to connect you to your inner goddess. It's an 11-minute meditation, and the link to that is also in the show notes. The third is a reminder that our purpose is to blossom into all that we are. That is truly our only purpose. You could be a doctor, you could be a coach, you could be a business leader, you could be a teacher, but ultimately what your purpose is to blossom. And you have what you need right in front of you to do that. The last thing is to resolve to drop resistance to what is and instead to surrender to it and ask, what is being asked of me in this moment? What is being asked of me? That is it for today's episode, my beautiful friends. Thank you for joining me. This is episode 71. I am promising you another episode in just 2 weeks. And in the meantime, please go learn more about Supernova. I am so excited about what's even coming up this month in the membership. We have a session on next Tuesday, March 11th, all about mastering manifestation. And I'm going to be sharing some of the science behind manifestation for the skeptics among you. And on Tuesday, March 18th, I'm hosting an office hours. This is an hour and a half where the women in the community are able to just hop on, share a question, a challenge that they're having, something that they need support with. And it's like a really beautiful hour and a half deep conversation support group. You can tune in to what the other questions are being asked as well. On Wednesday, March 19th, the very next day, we are hosting a special session with a menopause certified nutritionist who is going to be teaching us about thriving through perimenopause with nutrition and lifestyle tips. Then on March 27th, we're hosting fashion legend Barb Atkin. She was the fashion director at Holt Renfrew, Canada's luxury department store, for 28 years, outlasting five male presidents. And we have the honor of having her join us for a Q&A and a fireside chat. Barb Atkin is also on our Wisdom Council within Supernova. And we also have an In Real Life gathering happening on March 26th in Toronto, because that's where I'm based. So for now, the gatherings are centered in Toronto. However, as we grow, I'm excited to host them in other cities as well. So please check that out, allur.ca/supernova. Thank you so much for being here with me today, and I wish you a wonderful week. Thank you for tuning in to today's show. I hope you found inspiration and use this podcast to start stepping into all you are. You can find information that was shared in today's show just below in the show notes. If you love this conversation, please share it with others so they can benefit from it too. You can take a screenshot of this episode and tag me on Instagram, or share a link via text or email to a friend. Let's be clear. We need more women stepping into all they are. So go ahead and share away. And of course, subscribe to the podcast so that you receive the latest episodes every week, and take a quick moment to rate it and leave a review. Thank you so much. Until next time, remember to keep exploring what it means to be all you are.